So the reading is from John 15, verses 1 to 17. And if you've got the blue Bibles, that's page 1083. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears not fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, isn't this an interesting time that we're in? Isn't it a wonderful way in which God uses difficulty for us to help us to lean on him? And I really feel that whatever else is going on, welcome, Susie. Whatever else is going on, there is that real sense for me of God calling us to this absolute dependence on him. When everything else seems to be fragile or being taken away from us, Jesus is that constant. I think it's very apt. I mean, the service series had been planned for months and months, but it's very significant that this is the passage today. We're going through the whole of John's Gospel and trying to learn and grow in our following of Jesus through his words in John's Gospel. And today we hear these incredible words, and the whole passage is just a wonderful reminder to us that we have to remain in Jesus, that he is the source of our strength for all things, that he is the one when things seem to be being pruned or being stripped away, that he is still the one who is sustenance and the source of life and the source of strength and able to bring new fruit out of the ground. And as I was praying and preparing for this talk today, I really felt God say, don't prepare too much. So we're either going to have a really short sermon, for which most of you would be very grateful, or we're going to hear from God through each other, which I hope is going to be more the case today. This particular passage was a passage that came up for me as I was praying right away from the beginning of this process that we're going through as a church, where we're trying to discern, to seek God and say, what are you doing, Lord? What is your purpose in this season for us, which as a church seems to be people moving on and a changing of staff and a different situation that we face. Karen brought to us in January a really beautiful message about the vineyard being stripped away. And that in that pruning, which was a severe pruning, there was a chance then for the soil to be planted with wheat, with good things, that instead of being harvested for profit, would be re-sown into the soil in order that the soil would be richer and more fertile. And in that way, God would then be able to replant vines that would be even more fruitful than before. And I really think that God is leading us through this season. And it seems that it's not just about New Hope as a church, but about the wider society, the wider culture, and even the world. There seems to be a stripping away, a clearing of the ground, and a time in which we all, instead of having lots of other things that we rely on, need to rely only on Jesus. Somehow, in the midst of our busy lives, where we're struggling, well, I certainly feel like I'm struggling to do everything I need to do, there is a sense of it all being pushed to the side. And somehow, in the midst of this coronavirus crisis, we are called to simplify. We are instructed by our international leaders to stop doing things and rest. I don't know, it might be me, but I feel like God's voice is in that. To be at home, to care for our families, to think about what's really important and to focus on those things instead of just living this constant busy life. And so we come to this particular passage today with that sense that God seems to be speaking quite loudly and we want to listen. When we prayed in January, we heard God saying to us as a church, I want you to take more time to rest and more time to listen. And it feels a little bit like God is enforcing that on us. This is the ancient path that we heard Jeremiah, we heard through God speaking through that passage from Jeremiah, the ancient path in order that we would find rest for our souls. It's a path which involves letting things go and just being centered on Jesus. It's not comfortable for us, but it is about our spiritual health. So the two things I particularly wanted to draw out from this passage, there's so much there, 17 verses, we could spend a sermon on each verse, but particularly today, verse 2, the second part of verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, the gardener prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning is painful. I went with Jesse yesterday to a National Trust house called Gray's Court, which is fabulous. And as we walked around the gardens, which of course he was delighted in, we noticed that there were an awful lot of plants and shrubbery and other things. There's a kind of a series of archways with beautiful climbing plants following the trellis around. And they'd all been cut back. They'd all been pruned. And it looked really harsh. It looked like things had been cut back and that things were bare and there was very little there. And yet we know that the gardener knows what he's doing. That even in that bare state where there are crocuses and snowdrops and other things beginning to really show their faces and look beautiful, it is not yet the time for the fullness of spring to start flowering. But you can see in these bare branches that have been cut back the promise of spring. Pruning is not a comfortable experience. But it is one that is about fruitfulness in the right time. And so for us, as God does this work in our lives, which Jesus is telling his followers will happen, part of discipleship is experiencing times of pruning. That might involve letting go of things that we love or care about. It might mean accepting disappointment or suffering or physical pain. Many people in our church family experience pain as a daily part of their lives. And somehow God is with them in that to give them the strength to accept it and to live with it. For some of us, it's emotional pain. For some of us, it's loss. Many of us, if not all of us, are carrying things that hurt. But in that time, in that hurt, in that pain, in that disappointment or struggle, we have a choice to make. Will we abide in Jesus and allow him to meet us in that pain, in that pruning? Or will we try to control things for ourselves? Because we are a fruitful branch, we are being pruned. We have had to let go of things like Kidzone. We've stopped running Remix, our youth club outreach. We will be saying goodbye to Jackie in a few months' time. These are all changes that come to us that are painful. But we trust that God is at work in them and will be doing things in us to change and to reshape us, to make us the church he wants us to be. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is the place where the source of all fruitfulness comes. We need, as a church and as individuals, to be deeply rooted and established in Jesus alone. And so it is that I really believe this time that he's calling us to, of resting and waiting on him, is about us digging our roots more deeply into Jesus and bringing to him all of the hurts and the pains and the disappointments and the struggles and the suffering. As we do that, as we lean into Jesus, fruitfulness will come. It might not look exactly the same, but it will be fruitfulness that comes from Jesus. The second thing I really wanted to pull out of today's passage was the remaining in me. And these two things are inextricably linked. We cannot do one without the other. We cannot experience pruning without being near to Jesus, because that would destroy us. And that is not what any of us want or need. If we're going to allow Jesus to prune us, we have to remain in him. We have to abide, dwell, live, have a whole being shaped and nurtured and surrounded by Jesus Christ. Jesus explains to us how we do that. To remain in his love, we have to keep his commands. And he simplified down even from 10 to just 2. The first way we remain in Christ is to love God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength, our body, our spirits, and everything that we are. And then to love one another as Jesus has loved us. generosity, with unconditional love. When we come under pressure, when we experience those pruning times, it's hard to keep our eyes fixed on those simple things. I am not telling you anything that's a surprise here, am I? Is anybody surprised by this? No, it's obvious, isn't it? It's really simple. But it's so hard when we're under pressure. When fear comes for our health, when financial worries occur to us or occur in our lives, when our family units or our friendships or our working relationships are fragile or broken or divided. It's hard to keep our eyes fixed on those two simple commands. And yet we need to bring ourselves back to the simplicity of Jesus' call and the promise of what it brings. If we will lean into him, if we will spend time with him each and every day, in every circumstance, if we will pray, if we will wait just a few seconds to ask him how he wants us to respond, especially when it's something that we feel strongly about, passionate about, or emotional over. If instead of being human beings, I know this is hard, instead of being human beings who simply react with our human emotions or thoughts or ideas or anything else, if we take just a few seconds to say, Jesus, what do you say about this? That could transform our relationships. If we make space in our day to deepen our knowledge and understanding of God's word, if we will let him, through scripture, through our prayer lives, and through one another, do his work of correcting us, having teachable spirits, of enhancing our understanding of his character, of his truth, of his direction for our lives, for our church, for the kingdom that he is building through us around here. If we will abide in Jesus, we will find more of his peace in every situation and more of his goodness giving us direction for how we progress. And so remaining in me is actually about a willingness to be changed and shaped and carved into the likeness of Jesus, and the willingness to seek his tools, his pruning. And so we find these two things inextricably linked. God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. He wants to do his work of pruning, of shaping us, of making us more fruitful even than we have been already. We do that by remaining in him, by leaning every part of our lives into Jesus. The alternative is leaning on our own wisdom, or letting our emotions direct our lives and relationships. If we do that, we remain in society or in peer pressure, and we are shaped and carved into likeness of the world. So where will we abide? Where will we remain? It's up to us to choose who will shape us, who will shape our lives. Choosing to abide in Jesus means choosing to accept his pruning work. But if we do that, our lives will be richer for absorbing more of God's character, more of God's love, forgiveness, peace, hope, kindness, patience, and self-control. need to be influenced by him more than by anything else, so that we endure the circumstances of whatever it is, COVID-19, work situations that are difficult, home life that's challenging, whatever difficulties we face. Abiding in Jesus gives us the strength to endure them and to be shaped by Jesus through them. I wanted to give time for people to just respond or share what you think God is saying, doing, anything in particular. Sarah.
I think sometimes we see sometimes that someone's struggling, and because through our culture, we don't want to interfere or ask questions. And very often those people do really want help. They want you to spend that extra bit of time and ask, is there anything they want to share? One of the clients from Bed for the Night spoke to me in this period of time and came back from a previous year and said the difference that the project had made to him, the Bed for the Night, was immense. Now, I remember him... Initially, when I met him, he didn't want to talk to anybody, and he just had shame, basically. His head was almost on the table, didn't want to look at anybody. And I sort of coaxed him, could see that how much pain he was in. And spoke to him about his situation and his family, and he just said, like, the shame because of things that have happened in his life, that he couldn't face his family. And I just had how important it was to face his family and to speak to his mother, because she would love him no matter what he's done. The love will still be there. And when he came back, he had this conversation and just said, I've been praying that we'd came and we'd see the same members of staff when we came here, and how different his life was now. Now he was just doing the Alpha course, and he got the job that I sort of pushed him, like, you must go. And he said, no, I won't get the job. And I'm like, you must go and get the job. Anyway, he said he's been promoted, and he was happy. He was still waiting for proper housing. I don't know if he's in bed and breakfast or one room. So he still hasn't got comfortable housing, but he's got his dignity back. And so I just think it's really, sometimes it's about if everybody just could take time out for the person they know who is suffering the most. If everybody just helped the person. We can't spread ourselves between everybody we know who's suffering, because it's physically not possible. There isn't enough hours in a day. But if you help the person who you know needs help the most, how much different life would be for those people who are struggling.
Thank you, Sarah.
So for me this week, I've really noticed the difference when people work together. So at Mustard Tree, we've been part of some of the planning for the contingencies that are happening across the town, working with the council and health services. And we saw an email that came in after a meeting that Amanda actually from Faith had organised for those involved in homelessness in the town. And they'd come away from this meeting, the council, completely blown away by the response of the voluntary sector and the church and the way they were willing to try and help and support. And actually, I think sometimes, you know, it's just the simple things. It's just being willing to be open to whatever it is that God's prompting you to do. And it can influence and speak in ways that we have no idea how God's going to use it, but he does use it.
Amy?
We've just been having a lovely time in an hour of silent hope each week on a Monday. And it's been really wonderful just to sit together in silence. But one of the words that came this week was halo. And a halo is a circle or coloured light around the sun or moon or other luminous body caused by refraction through ice crystals in the atmosphere. Or it's a circle of light refracting or reflecting something else. So just thinking about holiness and what we're called to at the moment, that we can be part of reflecting the light and the hope and the love of Christ at the moment, and that we can sit surrounded by that peace that we've been learning about recently, of Christ that is surrounding each of us, and we can share that with one another. But I have got the cards here that we're going to take round the streets this week, which are offering prayer. But I just wonder if you would like to take one today for a neighbour or somebody you know self-isolating, or people you know who are needing support, and maybe write a little message on the back to them, just to keep contact, or buddies between people locally that you know. So just in case that helps.
Tony.
So we're in a time now where making plans is foolish. And it occurred to me that, like, whether it's putting on events, whether it's even trying to meet up with people, our plans are just so up in the air. That is, I just want to pray that I will hear God's voice. Okay, I have no plans. What would you have me do today?
Why don't we turn that into action now, and as you feel comfortable to, turn to the people around you and just share with them what it is that your prayer needs are. And let's be that loving community for each other in our circumstances. But let's also ask one another, how can we pray? How can we remain, pray over each other, that we would know what God is saying about how each of us can increase our remaining in Christ? Asking him, maybe listening for each other, maybe just praying God's blessing over each other. But what is it that during this time when we can't make any plans, when we can't make any even schedule kind of meetups easily in the week, but how can we be praying for each other now? And then we'll come back together for some worship in a few minutes' time.